Begin the current daf and set this chun daf lamadal. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we were discussing the Mishnah on daf lamagimel amadal. The Mishnah said, if someone slaughters an animal and no blood comes out, so it's a valid shechita. Additionally, it could even be eaten with ritually impure hands, because the meat didn't become susceptible to tuma. A food item to become tummy has to come in contact with one of the 7 liquids. There was no blood, so it's not machshel kabel tuma. There is no problem. So the Gemara asked an obvious question. The halacha of yadayim of regular hands is a sheni l'tuma. The meat we're talking about, as the Gemara proves on Lama Gimla and Alf, is talking about chulin. It's talking about chulin. So if it's chulin, a chulin, an unconsecrated mundane item, does not become a shlish l'tuma. What would be the problem, even if it was hoshel kabel tuma, to touch it with impure hands? So one of the approaches the Gemara gave in the bottom of Lama Gimla and Beis was that we're talking about chulin shenaso al taras hakodesh. It's not just regular unconsecrated meat, like in the case of our Mishnah. Rather, it was made with the level of purity that applies to Kachem, and it's not like Rabbi Yeshua, because as the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Masechtas Tyrus, that Rabbi Yeshua says clearly, when do you have a problem of something becoming a shlishi, is by chulin that's made al taras ha-tshuma. But if it's made al taras ha-kodesh, then he doesn't hold that it's going to become a shlishi. Rather, it's like his dispute in Rabbi Eliezer, who he holds that it could, if someone eats a shlishi, it could become a shlishi. There could be shlishi and chulin if it's made on the standards of al taras ha-kodesh, and therefore our Mishnah would be like him. And that the Gemara asks, okay, so then don't say it's chulin shenasa taras ha-kodesh, say it's chulin shenasa taras ha-tshuma, which Rabbi Yeshua holds could make a shlishi, and it's like Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara said on the top of our Amid that it can't be, because we're talking about meat. Al taras ha-truma would only be to keep it sacred regarding your produce, which is where truma comes from. It wouldn't apply to make a level of sanctity on meat, and therefore you wouldn't be able to have, like what we're talking about in our Mishnah, of slaughtering meat to have a level of taras ha-truma, and therefore, again, our Mishnah cannot be like Yeshua, rather like his dispute in Rabbi Eliezer. And that would be the approach of why you would have a problem of stam yadayim, which is a sheni, l'tuma, touching the meat, making it to shlishi, but it's chulin because it's chulin shenasa taras ha-kodesh, like Rabbi Eliezer. That Gemara continues in Amar Ula. Ula says, Chavraya Amrin, my colleagues, my friends said, as we had said in the previous daf, that the halacha of a Mishnah that said that you could have a problem about a chulin meat becoming a shlishi, is b'chulin shenasa al taras ha-kodesh, like we said in the previous daf, is when chulin are made on the level of purity of what kachim is, udulay k'bishua and nalay k'bishua. However, it says Ula, Vanamina Ribishuahi. I say that the Mishnah could even be like Ribishua, and he does hold that Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh could become a Shlishi. This that Ribishua had, we had quoted the Mishnah in Tyrus that he says, oh, when do I say it's a problem of Chulin becoming a Shlishi is when it's Chulin Shanasa Taras HaChuma? That was just adding a chiddush, a novelty. And he was saying, V'loy mebayah come, and I don't have to tell you, which is, loy mebayah chulin shenasa taras ha-kodesh. I don't have to tell you that if you have chulin items that are being treated with the level of sanctity of kachim, the chamiri, which that's a more severe level of purity, the isbu shlishi, of course that's items that can become a shlishi. So therefore, of course, for the halacha of our Mishnah, if we're talking about that this meat is chulin, but it's being treated with the sanctity of kachim, of course it would become a shlishi, and of course it would be a problem if someone with tummy hands would touch it. Elafil chulin shenasa taras ha-tshuma. But what Rabbi Yeshua was saying in that Mishnah Masechet is Tyrus, that he's saying, oh, you know, it could be a problem becoming a shlishi if it's chulin that's made while taras ha-tshuma. That was saying even when it's just something lower of truma, meaning that we're trying to treat this chulin like truma, nami is bur shlishi, that even that could become a shlishi because truma could become a shlishi. Kachim could become a revi, so truma is lower down, but even so, if you're treating your chulin like truma, okay, you could have a problem, it could become a shlishi, but of course, chulin shenasa taras ha-kodesh for sure could become a shlishi, and therefore says Ula, the halacha of our Mishnah doesn't have to be just like Rabbi Eliezer, it could even be like Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara asks, man chavraya. Who are the colleagues of Ula who they hold, as we said in the previous daf, that the halacha was specifically like Rabbi Eliezer, not like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua holds that it's only by chulin shenasa al taras ha-truma that could create a chulin to shlishi, but actually chulin shenasa al taras ha-kodesh could not become a shlishi. Who is that? Says the Gemara, it's Rabba Baba Chanehi. How do we know this? Because the Gemara says as follows. Damar Rabba Baba Chanehi Amar B'yechanan. He says, qualifying actually, this machlekes that we mentioned in the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus, which we're debating who is going to be, who could be the town of our Mishnah, he says over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Maya Hadri Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua LaHadadi. What did they respond? What did each one respond regarding the other one's opinion? Because as we mentioned in the previous stuff, they have a machlekes regarding this rabbinic decree regarding someone that eats something that's tummy, where we say that his body becomes tummy, but the question is, what level do we give him? Rabbi Eliezer says, whatever the level of the food is, that's what he becomes. If he eats a Rishon, he becomes a Rishon. He eats a Shein, he becomes a Shein. He eats a Shlishi, he becomes a Shlishi. Bishua said, no. If someone eats a Rishon Lutum or a Shein Lutum, he becomes a Sheini. And then if he eats a Shlishi, then we said that he becomes, and he qualifies, and that's where the whole discussion is. He says, oh, what type of Shlishi am I talking about? I'm talking about a Chulin Shlishi that was made with a level of Taras HaTrumah. If someone eats that type of a Chulin, he becomes a Sheini in regard to the laws of Kadshim, but it does not become a Sheini in regard to the laws of Trumah. Now, so what were their responses one to the other? So on that he says, over the tradition from Rabbi Yechana, that Amalei Rabbi Eliezer Bishua, Rabbi Eliezer said to Bishua as follows, says, we find that the person who eats the food is more stringent in halacha than the food itself. How so? If you have a dead kosher bird that wasn't properly slaughtered on the outside, just laying there, it does not transmit tumah. If someone touches it, carries it, there's no tumah. But the one who eats that bird, transmits tumah to even his garments that he's wearing when it's in his throat. So you see that the one who's eating the thing is more severe than the thing that's being eaten. So David says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua, V'anu and us, Heichloi nasa eichel kamaichel, how are we not going to make at least the one who's eating it like the food item itself? Meaning, it obviously is like me that I said if someone eats a Rishon L'tumah, he becomes a Rishon, because the one who's eating it is at least, if not more, severe than the food item itself. Whereas you hold that if when you eat a Rishon or a Sheini, he's only going to become a Sheini and not a Rishon. That says the Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua. He responded, no. We don't learn out, as was the question of Rabbi Eliezer, from the laws of a dead, not properly slaughtered kosher bird. Why? Because the Chiddushu, that's a novelty where it's actually paradoxical to how it usually is. As was pointed out by Rabbi Eliezer, by the Nevelas Oivtar, it does not transmit Tumah when it's out in the open, and contrarily, only when it's in what's called Beis HaSatarim, in hidden areas, like in the neck, in the throat of a person, that's when they transmit Tumah to the person, so much so, which is even greater part of the novelty, that even his garments become Tumah. In contrast, regular halachas of Tumah, it actually transmits Tumah only when it's out in the open, and actually does not, there's no Tumah in Beis HaSatarim when it's covered. So therefore, it says Rabbi Yeshua, it's obviously a gzeiros hakasav, it's a decree which you cannot learn out from, and therefore he's not bothered by the question of Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you could learn out from there. And therefore you find the person is more severe than what's eaten, and therefore if what he's eating is a Rishon L'tumah, he's going to become a Rishon L'tumah, and again, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. So Ella rather continues Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, to the contrary, Metzino shamaychel chamim na'eichel, no, you find that the food item is more severe than the one who eats it. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua holds that it gets downgraded. When you eat a Rishon, you only become a Sheni, because the food is more severe. How do you find that? Because the Ilu Meichel, because in regards to a food item being susceptible and receiving Tumah, the halach is Bikabeya. It's that when the food item is the size of an egg, then it touches the food item, then it's going to transmit the Tumah. Now, in contrast, by a person, V'Eichel, someone who's eating something Tumah, he doesn't become Tumah only if until he eats the amount of what's considered half of a loaf of bread. As the Mishnah teaches in Erevin, the Pebezim Abeis, there's the size of a loaf regarding the laws of Erevin, and half of that loaf has a certain halacha, and half of half is what would invalidate a person's body who's eating something that's tameh, which a quarter of the loaf, which is half of the half, is actually the size of two beitzim, of two eggs. So we see that for eichlin to become tameh, it's severe. It only requires the size of one egg. For the person to become tamei requires the size of two eggs. So v'anu heich nasa eichel kamechel, so says Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Eliezer, how could we make the one who's eating it like the food item? The food item is more severe than the one who eats it. And therefore he says, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that no, if someone eats a Rishon L'tumah, he gets downgraded to only being a Shein L'tumah. No, but Rabbi Eliezer, he responds back. He says, first of all, tumah mishirin l'gemrinan. You cannot learn out like Rabbi Yeshua is trying to do the laws of tumah in regards to its severity, and from the laws of measurements, which Rabbi Yeshua is trying to point out, to say, hey, you see, the person who eats it is less, his measurement is greater. It's you need to eat more. It has to be a larger amount to become tummy than the food item. And that Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Measurements is a totally separate topic. It's not because of, like Rabbi Yeshua is trying to say, of stringencies and leniencies. Rather, when we say that what makes a food item tummy the size of an egg, that's because the Pasuk says that's the measurement, like it says, Mekala Eichel Ashiya Achel, which the Gemara in Yuma, the Peyim and Beis explains, it's the amount of food item that could fit at one time in a person's throat. that's the amount of an egg, of the egg of a chicken. In contrast, the invalidation of a person's body, which is the size of a half of a loaf of bread, which is two eggs, that's the rabbinic institution. So they're coming from different places. It's not coming because one's more stringent than the other. It's because that's the Torah says, that the person eating it, because that's how much could fit in his throat, which is that amount, and which is the size of making the food out of tummy. In contrast, the person becoming tummy because he ate the food, that's the rabbinic institution, which comes from a different rationale, where if he's going to eat it, and he might mix in other food also, so it's coming from a different place, and therefore he says it's not a proof what Yehoshua is saying. Void, moreover, asks Reb Eliezer, is l'dvarecha, according to your reasoning, that you say that you could learn out the laws of tumah from measurements to say, oh, that that we're going to make that the food item is more stringent than the one who eats it. But then, so it says, okay, sha'at o'ima al rishon, this that you say that whoever eats a food item that's a rishon l'tuma, that you say that the person becomes a sheni, he becomes only a second degree tuma. So yafat o'ima, that works well with the logic that you're saying, because you're saying that the person is less severe than the food item. But sheni lama, but how do we understand your halacha that you're saying that if whoever eats a shein l'tuma, he also becomes a shein l'tuma? Why? He should become a shlishi according to your rationale. So Adam Alai, Rabbi Yeshua says back to him, no, because mitzinu shasheni is a sheni. We do find in halacha precedent, and therefore that's what we're going on, that a food item that's a second level tuma can make its fellow food item into a second level tuma. How so? Isn't it generally when you say when this transmission of tumah, it gets downgraded every time by one level? And that's essentially what he's saying here. When the person eats the rishon tumah, he becomes a sheni. So how is it possible that when you're saying he's eating a sheni, he becomes a sheni? Because in halacha, you find the sheni can make a sheni. How so? Al yidei mashkin. If let's say a food item touches a food item that's a sheni l'tumah, and there's liquid that's on it. So what happens is that the liquid that gets touched becomes a rishon l'tuma. As I'm going to shortly explain, that whatever invalidates truma, meaning truma could become the furthest it could become as a shlishi. So when we say whatever invalidates truma, it means a sheni that would touch truma that would make it invalid, makes liquids that it touch into a tchila, into a rishon l'tuma, which elsewhere the Gemara explains the reason for that, because of its susceptibility to tuma. But what happens then afterwards is that now the liquid that's a rishon will make the food item that's touching it into a sheni l'tuma. So since you find through the medium of liquid that one sheni can make another food item into another sheni, again, because the food item that's tamei a sheni touched the liquid, making it into rishon, thus making the food item that's on it a sheni, so therefore we were stringent by a person who eats a food item that's a sheni, that, again, since we find such a precedence in the stringency of a sheni l'tuma, that he's also going to become a sheni l'tuma, because, although generally if he would touch, he would be downgraded, but eating is more severe than just touching, and here we're talking about where a person ate this tamei item. So therefore, yeah, that's why I say when he eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni himself. However, Amaloi, Rabbi Eliezer said back to him, he says, wait a second. V'hamashkin, if you're going to go now and start learning out from liquids and beverages, because that's what you're saying, when someone eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni, because, oh, with liquids, you could make a sheni, could make another thing into a sheni, so we make this person who's eating it also into a sheni. If that's the case, then namit chilahava. Then you should have made this person who's eating the sheni, not just into a sheni, you should have made him into a rishon l'tuma, just like liquids become a rishon l'tuma. Now, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Yeshua does not learn out from the liquid itself, because that is a stringency that applies uniquely to liquids, which, as we said, that it's explained elsewhere that there's more of a vulnerability for tuma by liquids, because they don't have to be hoch shalikah with tuma, in contrast to solids, to food items, they have to be first become vulnerable through coming in contact with some liquids. But he learns that from food items. And a food item could become a sheni from another sheni through the medium of liquids. But he doesn't agree to this question of Rabbi Eliezer, oh, if you're learning out through liquids, then actually learn all the way from the precedence of liquid and say the person who eats the sheni should become a rishon just like liquids. Where do we find this halacha of liquids? That's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Par. It says, kala pesul b'truma. Whatever would make truma into a psul, which that's the terminology here is important between tummy and psul. Tummy means that the thing itself is tummy and can contaminate other things. Pasul means it becomes tummy, but it doesn't pass it on from that. Which, when does truma become only pasul, not tummy, is when it's a shlishi, when it's a third level, because it cannot pass it on any further. So whatever would make truma into a psul, which essentially we're saying anything that's a sheni, that which would make truma into a psul, which would make it into a shlishi, is metama mashkin liyischila. When that sheni touches liquids, it makes it into a rishon l'tuma. As we said, which usually is the opposite. Usually it downgrades by liquids, we make it into a rishon. Chutz mitfol yem, there's one exception by a person, although he was tummy, but he immersed himself that day and is waiting for sundown, where already had weakened his level of tumah to some extent. So though if that sheni, who's a tefil yem, would touch truma, he would invalidate it, but there the rabbanu did not say that the liquid that he touches becomes a rishon. Now that's one question, which we said Yerushua is not bothered by, but because it's not learning from liquids itself, but that's one question, one comeback Rabbi Eliezer has, which is, wait a second, if you're learning from liquids, and that's why he's saying if this person eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni, then make him into a rishon, just like you find by liquids. But v'yoig, moreover, and this is the point that we're bringing out, the second question he says is that shlishi, you're saying that when the person eats a shlishi, a third level of tumah, sheni lama, why do you say that then he becomes a sheni latuma? Why would that be? Where would that be coming from? So, because you're saying that okay, fine, the person can become the same as the tumah, but that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Yeshua holds no, to contrary, it gets downgraded. So fine, you explained by a sheni why he could become a sheni too, because you find such a precedent. But why, if he's eating a shlishi, would you say that he's going to become even a sheni in regards to the laws of kachar? And then Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua responded back to him regarding the second question. He says, "Afani lo yamarati." He says, "You're right. I also didn't say," which is contraindicated from his regular opinion that it actually gets lower the person than the food item. He says, "I didn't say that the one who eats a shlishi could become in regards to the laws of kachim as a sheni. Ella, I only said it regarding a food item that's bitruma, meaning by chulin that was made under standard of purity of truma." Which is really essential what Rabbi Shu already said in the Mishnah on the previous daf in Masechtas Tyrus, that since it was made al taharas hatruma, so therefore that's when we made the food item into a sheni, thus making the person who eats it into a sheni. Why? Because shetaharas, because the purity of truma, as we continue to Amud Beis, is actually tameya he eats al hekdesh. It's actually considered as tame, and therefore it's actually going to be worse off than it is in regards to the laws of kachim. And we find this concept in the Gemara Chagigah of Yutches Mabez, that the garments of those who eat truma, who keep a higher level of tara than regular people, is actually their garments are considered tumas medris, which is like when a zav or a nida sits in it, in regards to those who eat kachin. So obviously we see from that halacha that the safeguarding of truma is not considered safeguarding from tumah in regards to hektish. The reason for that is because the halos of medris, of when a tumah person sits on a garment, which in regards to truma, it contaminates. That's actually in regards to the laws of chulin, because tumas medrash is a biblical law, and therefore, someone that eats truma is definitely safeguarding his garments from medrash. Even so, we find in regards to kachim, we don't consider that as a sufficient safeguarding, and we are concerned, in the context of kachim, that person who eats truma, that his wife who was in need, sat on the garment and made a tumas medrash. So therefore says, Rabbi Shua, so the same concept is also over here. Here, we're going to consider this shlishi of truma, meaning the chulin that's nasa al taharas to truma, as if it's tummy regarding kachim, because we will consider as in doubt as a sheni, because we said for kachim we're going to be more stringent and consider it a more severe tumma. Now, so therefore, whoever eats that tummy sheni latumma is going to be considered for kachim as a sheni. Why? Because like Yeshua had said in the previous Gemara's discussion, that we find that a sheni can make something else a sheni through liquids, and therefore since we have such a precedent, in regards to kachim, even though this is made al taharas hatruma, it's going to be more severe, it's going to be like a sheni, thus making the person who eats it into a sheni. Now, this is the Gemara's proof that we mentioned before, that Ula had said, my colleagues dispute my that I want to say that the Mishnah could be like Yeshua. He said it's Rabbi Bechana. How do you see that? Because Rabbi Bechana was the one who just said over this discussion about the dialogue between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, where Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Shua, Shlishi Sheni Lama, which was this question that how could someone who eats a third level tumah become a Sheni himself? On that, Rabbi Shua had responded. He says, oh, you're right. I would never say such a thing. If anything, I say it gets lower down, less severe when the person eats it. He said, Afani lo yamarti, I didn't say this. Rather, I only said in this case of when he's eating it, al taharas hatruma. Now, obviously, what we could infer from that is that this that we had learned in that Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus that we quoted in the previous daf from Yeshua, that he said that it's only by chulin that's not sal taharas hatruma. Obviously, what he was saying was that only in this type of chulin could there ever be a case of chulin being a shlishi l'tuma when it was made al taharas hatruma. And that is what he was repeating in his response to Rabbi Eliezer. And he says, yeah, afani lo yamarti. I only said in this case, specifically in this case, and not as we'll shortly see, a possibility that which essentially what Ula had said before, that no, it's a revusa. Ula had said, of course the Mishnah could be like Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua holds that chulin could become a shlish if it's made al taras hakodesh, for sure, because that's more severe if it could happen al taras hatruma. On that, no, we see from Rabbi Bachanan that he holds it specifically, and that's what Rabbi Shua was responding, it could only be al taras hatruma, and to the contrary, al taras hakodesh does not become a shlishi. How do you see that? Because if in that Mishnah Masechtas Taras, when Rabbi Shua was saying his case description of when someone who eats a shlishi could become a sheni in regards to kachim, if he was explaining his reasoning and he was saying, what type of chulin, if someone eats it as a shlishi, would make him into a sheni in regards to laws of kachim, that, oh, it's by a case of chulin that was made al taras hatruma, and why would that be? Because, oh, the purity of truma is considered tumah in regards to laws of kachim. But really, that if we were entertaining this to say, but really, a chulin could become a shlishi, if it was made al taras hakodesh, like Ula says. If that would be the case, then what would be Rabbi Eliezer's question that in this dialogue that Rabbi Chan is quoting, when he says, shlishi, sheni lama, how could someone who eats a shlishi become a sheni? What do you mean? If Rabbi Yeshua already gave his reasoning in the Mishnah Masechtas Taras, he already said the reason why. He already said that because you consider Truma as Tame in regards to the laws of Kachim. So obviously that's not what he said. Obviously he was saying that this is the case of when you could have it. And that's what he was reaffirming in the discussion over here. And therefore that's the proof that Rabbi Chana holds that Rabbi Shua only says it in the case of Nasa Taras HaTruma and not Nasa Al Taras HaKadosh. Because Taras HaKadosh actually would not become a Shlishi. However, Ula, who we quoted previously, who said that, no, Rabbi Shua says his halacha, even my chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, that it can still become a shlishi, and that's why he wanted to say that the Tana of Mishnah, that we have a problem about this animal, which is chulin, as we had proven in the previous daf, would be a problem if a sheni of Yadayim would touch it, making it into a shlishi, that he says it could even be like Rabbi Shua. He holds that this that we had quoted in the Mishnah, in Tyrus, from Rabbi Shua, that it's by a case of chulin shenasa taras hatruma, he's actually giving the reasoning for his opinion. And he's saying, which we're saying is not what Rabbi Chana says, that by chulin, which has a tara of truma, that's where we say that the person who eats it, he becomes a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim. Because like we said, the tahara of truma is considered tumah regarding kachim. But not that only by truma do you have it. Because it's just that he's saying it's only a problem when you're eating al taras hatruma, because if you're eating al taras hakodesh, then the truthfully be, then you wouldn't be considered, because you're eating al taras hakodesh, so it wouldn't be considered tamei regarding kachim. But the truth is, Ula holds, that in halacha, you could even have a shlishi, not just by nas al taras hatruma, but for sure if it's al taras hakodesh, like we said previously on the Amid. Now, but then the question we have is, we have in this discussion, that's what Rabbi Shua had responded back, which we said, well, what's this discussion then? What's Rabbi Eliezer asking on Rabbi Shua if he already said his reasoning of why it's specifically truma, if someone eats a shlishi, he can become a sheni, because we said it's a shlishi for truma, but for kachim will be a sheni. So now we have to say either that Ula didn't hear this, meaning this discussion that Rabbi Chana is quoting the name of Rabbi Yechanan, it's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, it's Rabbi Chana that he heard from his teacher, and therefore he doesn't necessarily have to agree to that. Or another interpretation is that Ula holds that he accepts this tradition, that was what their discussion was. But the last statement that Rabbi Shua said, Afani lo yamarti, that wasn't part of the discussion at all. Because to the contrary, Rabbi Shua holds by both of them that the person's body actually will become a sheni for kachim, even by when it's Nas al Taras HaKadosh. And therefore he didn't say, oh, I only said it by Nas al Taras HaTruma. And because the purity of both of them, when you have chulin, whether it's made al Taras HaTruma, or even chulin that's made al Taras HaKadosh, is considered tuma regarding actual kachim. And therefore this that we said in the Mishnah previously, that in Taras, that he was saying his case in chulin Nas al Taras HaTruma, that was just an added chiddush to say that even by truma you could have that we're going to make it into a shlishi, but most definitely it would be also a problem of becoming a shlishi when it's made al taras hakodesh. And again, therefore that concludes the discussion where this is the sources for Ula and his colleague who dispute this halacha of our Mishnah, could it be like Rabbi Shua or not? Ula says that yes, because of course he holds that even al taras hakodesh, but we proved that his colleague, that's Rabbi Bachana, would disagree, as we proved from the fact that he has this tradition that obviously he understands that Rabbi Shua only holds that there's a feasibility of becoming a shlishi only in the case of chulin, and therefore we understood what Rabbi Eliezer was asking on him, because if he already said his reasoning why it's specifically truma, then it wouldn't have had a question. He was just saying that that's the case when you could have a shlishi, but then his question was, okay, but then how would that become that the person who eats it becomes a sheni? That's what he was explaining over here in the discussion, that, yeah, I only said over there, and why over there? That's what was discussed in this discussion, that because then that's considered tummy regarding the laws of kachim. So actually, the Mefarshim explained that these two interpretations in Rashi actually parallels very well the next Gemara's discussion regarding the Machlekes Amayram that are going along these same lines regarding the understanding of Rabbi Shua's opinion. The Gemara continues, Amar B'zeru, Amar Basi, Amar B'yechon, Amar B'yanai. It says, Ha'eichel shlishi shel chulin, shanasra ataras ha'kedish. So if someone eats a chulin item, which again generally cannot become a shlishi, but it could, because it was made ataras ha'kedish, with the same level of purity of kachim, which could become a shlishi, or even a ravi, and someone eats that chulin, nasa gufi shein l'kedish. That person's body, we have this rabbinic tumah, his body becomes as a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim. Which again, we're going along the opinion of Rabbi Shua, and we're saying that it's even that, yeah, you could have a chulin that will be a shlishi, altaras ha'kedish, and therefore that's the same halacha that essentially Rabbi Shua said regarding altaras ha'truma. So we're saying that the person's body becomes a sheni in the laws of kachim. Because even though it's altaras ha'kedish, but again, as we said, that it's still only altaras ha'kedish, it's not the kachim itself, and we still consider tummy regarding kachim. Now, Eisver Rebzeir Rabasi, Rebzeir had said over this teaching in the name of Rabasi, who said in the name of Rebyechon, in the name of Rebyanai. Now, Rebzeir asked on Rabasi from the Mishnah Taras that we quoted in the previous stuff. The Mishnah had said, which is the opinion of Rabbi Shua, if someone eats a shlishi, so the person becomes a sheni l'kodesh. The person becomes as if he's a secondary level of tumah in regards to the laws of kachim. But v'ein sheni l'truma, he's not considered as a sheni regarding the laws of truma. And on that qualified Rabbi Shua, what I'm talking about is b'chulin shenasa taras ha'truma. If someone eats this shlishi that was really mundane food, but was made with the level of purity that applies to truma. Now, on that infers Reb Zeira, al taras truma in. What are we talking about? If it's made on the purity level of truma, that's where we say this halacha. But al taras ha'kaydish loy, but if it's made with the purity level of kachim, then no, then it doesn't become this chulin. Doesn't become even to a shlishi. So how could your Rabasi say that it'll apply even al taras hakodesh? So Malaysia Rabasi said to him, loy mibayikama. We don't have to say it. In other words, even when it's made only al taras hatruma, which is less severe, you would say, okay, maybe we're not going to treat this chulin as a shlishi. And then we say, no, it becomes a shlishi, and the person that eats it becomes a sheni. But of course, it's going to apply to al taras hakodesh, where it's going to become a shlishi, and the one who eats it is going to become a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim. However, on that aspect, Reb Zeira, but vo'afani lo'yamarte ele b'trumakam, we just quoted that discussion before, where Rabbi Bechana had said in the name of Reb Yechanan, that Reb Eliezer had responded back to Reb Yeshua, and that Reb Yeshua responded back, and Reb Yeshua had said, no, I only said it applies b'al taras ha'truma. So how could this teaching, which is said over the name of Reb Yechanan, say it's even al taras ha'kodesh, when clearly, as we had said, that no, it's only by al taras Altaras ha'truma, but Altaras ha'kodesh actually would not become a shlishi. And that says the Gemara, Amiron in there. It's Machlekes Amiron, Rabbi Ochanan and Rabasi, Valib Rabbi Yechanan, in the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. And that is because that Rabasi does not agree to this discussion when Rabbi Shua is saying, Afani lo marti. Rather, he holds, according to Rabbi Shua, that actually both cases, the person's body who eats it will become a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim. Because it's not only altaras ha'truma that we consider tummy regarding kachim, but even altaras ha'kodesh, it's still not kachim itself, and then we treat it as a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim. Amar Ula. Ula says, continuing on these halachas, ha'ichel shlishi shel chulin shenasu altaras truma. That same case of that Mishnah. If someone eats a third level of tuma of chulin that's made on the level of tara of truma, Nifsal gufi melecha b'truma. So his body becomes invalidated from now of eating truma. On that, as the Gemara, my kamash melon, what is this halacha of Ula even teaching us? Tanina, that's really explicit in that Mishnah we learned on the previous daf. The Mishnah said, as we quoted just before, if someone eats a shlishi, a third level tumah, which is the case that Ula is discussing, sheni l'kodesh, he becomes considered his body as a secondary level of tumah regarding kachim. Vein sheni l'truma, he's not considered sheni regarding truma. And what case are we talking about? Same case that Ula's talking about, b'chulin shenasa taras truma, by chulin that was made in the level of purity of truma. And that explains the Gemara, the inference, sheni hu delo yahava. What do we see? That he's not considered a sheni regarding to truma. Ha shlishi, but as a shlishi in regards to truma, that hava that he is. And since he's considered as a third level of tumah regards to truma, he's considered not tameh for truma, but he's considered as pasul for truma, because a shlish l'tumah doesn't mix. A truma is problematic for a shlish l'tumah. So although he could touch truma, but he's not allowed to eat truma. So you see that from that Mishnah. What is Ula teaching us? That says the Gemara, imahi, if we only had that Mishnah in Taras, havamina, I would have said, loy sheni hava, v'loy shlishi hava. No, not only is he not a sheni b'truma, he's not even a shlishi b'truma. And the reason for that is because since this is a shlishi doesn't make the person himself into a shlishi, because Rabbi Shua himself says, as we quote in that Mishnah, that the food item is more severe than the one who eats it. Except by sheni, because he said you find a precedent in halacha that a sheni can make something else than a sheni. Or shlishi, that's only regarding to kachim. But regarding to truma, he's not going to be considered a shlishi. But for Aididam a sheni b'kaidish, it's only because since he mentioned becoming a sheni in regards to the laws of kachim that he actually does become. So amanami ain't sheni b'truma. So he says, but he does not become a sheni regarding to truma. But not only we could say he doesn't become a sheni, we could even say he doesn't become a shlishi b'truma. Kamash malan, that's what we need an ula for, to say that no, ultimately, he does become at least a shlishi. And when Yeshua said that we don't make the one who eats it like the food item itself, that was only said in regards to the laws of touching, of negiyah. For example, if someone who eats a food item that's a rishon, if we would make the person who eats it into a rishon too, then what he would touch would become a sheni. But if someone eats a food item that's a shlishi, if you're going to make him into a shlishi, because again, the whole reason why we're saying we don't make it into what itself was because we can't say in regards to the laws of touching it's going to have the same status. But if you say that someone who eats a shlishi himself becomes a shlishi, what he touches is still permitted. It's only going to be usher for what he eats. Oh, so that would still fit into the qualification of Rabbi Yeshua, because his problem is only can be the same regarding touching, and it won't be the same regarding touching. Now, moreover, it's from the inference that we had said before, where Rabbi Yeshua had said that it's not a shein l'truma, but that's what Ula is inferring. We just would not have known it necessarily without his teaching, but it does become a shlishi regarding to truma, and therefore he cannot eat truma, although he could touch truma. However, the Gemara asks, Eisvei Rav Hamnuna l'Ula. Rav Nuna asks on Ula's teaching from a Mishnah in Masechtas Tyrus. Mishnah says as follows, Harishin Shebechulna goes through the levels of tumah that chulin could reach. So a first level of tumah regarding chulin, let's say a sheretz, which the avatumah touched it. So then tameh umetameh. That chulin item is itself tameh, and it also makes, let's say, truma that it touches tameh, because it makes it into a sheni l'tumah, which that makes the truma item what's called tameh, because it itself can make another truma thing into a shlishi. But let's say v'hasheni, if you have a secondary level of tumah regarding chulin, then paisel, it only invalidates the truma, but v'ein metame, it doesn't make it tame, because the truma is now a shlishi, and a truma cannot make something else into a revi. So therefore, the shlishi of truma cannot be called tame, rather it's called pasel, which it's just invalid. Now v'hashlishi, a third level tuma of chulin, that says the Mishnah, nechel benazir hadema, it could even be eaten in a dish that has truma mixed into it. For example, if let's say you have this third level chulin of tuma, which is, let's say it's a dish, some type of porridge of chulin. So on that is saying the Mishnah, you're allowed to even put in spices of truma, some fats and some ala and some oil, where you're going to go ahead and be able to eat that truma with that shlishi level of chulin inside of it. Now, from the fact that it says that a shlishi, obviously, if it's mixed with truma, we're saying that you're treating this chulin on the level of tahara of truma. And it's saying that you could even eat that whole dish that the third level of chulin is mixed in with the truma. On that asks Rav Amnunan Ulam, Vi amrit nifsal gufa, if your halach is true, that you said that if you have a chulin that was a shlishi, that was made al taras a truma, which is the same way that we're describing as that Mishnah in Masechtas Taras, that nifsal gufa melecha b'truma, we said although he doesn't become a sheni for truma, but however his body becomes a shlishi, and therefore a shlishi cannot partake of truma. So he said he can't eat truma. So then the question then becomes, so safina lay, so we go ahead and we feed this kain midi depasle legufe, something that invalidates his body, because subsequently, and we're going to go first with the first interpretation of Rashi, then the second one, he's going to subsequently eat the truma that's in that porridge, like those spices. But you said when he eats that shlishi of chulin, even if it's min ataras truma, his body becomes tame in regards to at least eating truma. So how can we let him eat it if then he's going to eat the spice inside of it, which is going to be problematic? Leave alone this case of that Mishnah of Tyrus regarding that dish, which has Truma spice inside of it, because they were not bothered if he's even going to eat those spices of Truma in a physical impurity that he has of the Shlishi of Tuma. Why? Because as we continue to talk about Lamahayim and Aleph, the Lekah Kizayis Brachtei Achilas Pras, because there is no measurement of an Aleph size of Truma in the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. Meaning, the liability of eating Truma with physical with ritual impurity on the body is only if you eat the measurement of liability, which is a Kizayis, the size of an Aleph. Because there's that halach of eating a Kizayis is only if it combines in a certain amount of time. So whether we're talking about kezayis of Oli Surin or a large date on the halacha of being liable and eating an Yom Kippur, if a person delayed from the beginning of his eating until the end more than the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which is anywhere between 4 or 9 minutes approximately, that is going to be beyond the amount of the statute of limitations of liability. Because the Torah gave a measurement for the amount of time it takes to eat in which the source is in the house that has a nega. The Torah is particular for the person who stayed in there the amount of time that it takes to eat, then his garments are going to become tummy. Now, that measurement was evaluated in the amount of time of half of a loaf of bread, which the whole loaf is the amount of an Erev. Half of that is what's called pras, which is half of the loaf, which is the size of 4 eggs. Now, in this case, in the Mishnah Masechta Tyrus regarding that dish that has spices of Truma inside of it, the spices are very little, a minority part of that dish. When you're going to eat from that porridge, from that dish, the amount of a half of a loaf of bread, you're not going to have been eaten in those 9 minutes from the spice of Truma the size of a kezayis. And by the time you are going to eat, you really would have been over the amount of time of eating kedei achilas pras, and therefore more than amount of time, we don't combine the share of a kezayis, and therefore there's no, quote, achil of Truma in the state of Tuma, and therefore there's no liability anyway. Now, however, that's only when we said that if the porridge, if the chulin dish is a shlish of the tumah, but if it's a rishon or a sheni, then of course you wouldn't be able to eat that dish, because the problem then even would be the chulin would be problematic as a sheni, and moreover, the sheni would make the truma into a shlishi, and therefore that would be a problem. But as a shlishi itself, there's no problem, and for the truma, there's no problem, because even if it becomes problematic, because it's not going to have a halachic problem, because you're not going to have a shir bechteichas pras. That's an interpretation Rashi heard, but he has a problem with this. And he says, however, how can you feed something to somebody that's going to make his body invalid for Truma? Because moreover, the halacha is that it's forbidden for a person to make his body pasul. That's Rashi's understanding, as the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Peyom and Beis. It says, Al tatama behem benet mesim bam, which tells us that there's a biblical halacha from a person making his body impure. And even the one who says rabbinic is still a prohibition. So how could we say, okay, there's no liability for the truma, but what's with the fact that the chulin itself is going to make his body tummy? Moreover, he says the terminology of the Gemara sounds like when it's asking what safinu le midi the pasul of the guf, we're going to feed him something that makes his body invalid. Sounds like that we're not coming from the liability of eating the spices of a truma in a state of impurity. Rather, it's from the question of how can we feed him the shlish of chulin itself, which that's what we said in the halacha, makes his body tummy. So therefore, Rashi interprets what the Gemara was saying is that we're talking about chulin itself in the Mishnah. When we're talking about harishon shebechul, when it gets to the case of that if it's a shlishi l'tumah, it can be eaten even in a dish of truma. What the case is talking about is that dish touched a sheni l'tumah, which made into a shlishi. That's what the Mishnah is saying, is you're permitted to eat it. Now, in this case, since it's a dish that's mixed with truma, so obviously what we're trying to say is that it was made, this chulin dish, al taras ha-truma, and he wants to eat it. Now, so that's the case of what Ula was talking about, of chulin shenas al taras ha-truma. That's what the question was on him. If you say that a shlishi of chulin makes a person's body invalid to partake of truma, so how can we go ahead and feed this kohen something that will be, the question is on the chulin. How could that invalidate, how can we let him have something that's going to make his body pasul, and then he might come to eat truma afterwards, but the point is, you're not allowed to make your body in a state of ritual impurity. That's what the Gemara answers. Hanach lenezir hadema. He Ula answered, leave alone that case because there's no kezayis bechteichilis pras. Therefore, what? Not like the first version of Rashi that, oh, you're not going to have liability under truma. No, it actually answers the question of the chulin. Therefore, you're not going to have the chulin being made on the level of taras or truma. Because why would you treat that chulin that you say has to be on the level of taras or truma? because of the spice that's mixed into it. Because if not, the chun's going to contaminate the truma, and then you're going to have a problem with the truma. But here, there's not even a share of a kezayis in the truma, b'chdeichel's pras of eating the porridge. So therefore, you don't have to eat the chun atar sa truma, and therefore we're going to treat it as regular chun. Regular chun does not become a shlishi, and that's why it's not a problem in that case, in that Mishnah Masechet Taharos. But again, the main idea of this Gemara is that it's answering the question of that was asked from Rav Nunan Ula, where he said that the person at least becomes a shlishi in regards to that he can't partake of truma, although he can't contaminate truma, he can't eat it. We said over here it's seemingly the same exact case, and we see that you could partake of it. So we said no, either because the truma not going to be liable on, or as the preferred interpretation of Rashi is, no, the chul in which we have concern the person even eating to make his body's puzzle, it's not going to make his body puzzle because that chul is not going to be al taras or truma, because the truma, you'll never come to have the liability of truma and tumah. So you don't have to treat the chul that way, and therefore he's not even eating a chul nishnas al taras or truma, he's eating regular chul. Regular chul cannot become a shlishi, and therefore there's no problem. You could eat that whole dish of the nazir hadema, and there's no problem about making a person's body tameh.